Hello, everyone. Welcome to another podcast of Preventive Health and Safety. So glad you could be here. And I don't know what day it is that you're listening to this, but for me, today's Easter. And I want to wish you a happy Easter. To me, Easter is really special because of all the things that Jesus did on the cross and being able to raise from the dead so that he could abundantly give unto me eternal life and also do so many things for me, and I'm so appreciative of everything God has done for me and all the things that he does for me, and I certainly hope that you're grateful too. Today we're going to talk about a subject that might not be way up on your list of priorities, but I want to just talk a little bit about food safety. There's a lot of times that we get a little careless here and there with things, and the truth of the matter is it can really cause a lot of problems. Every year in the United States, you're not going to believe this, I didn't believe when I first read it, but every year in the United States, about 48 million people have some kind of foodborne illness or food poisoning. That's about one out of every six Americans, and that just to me is amazing that that happens in a nation as developed as ours is. Now, I realize there's a lot of poverty and a lot of people that don't have the facilities that many of us have, but it's still quite a sad statistic. And then think about that, 128,000 of those people end up getting admitted to the hospital, and actually about 3,000 deaths every year result from some type of food poisoning. There's all kind of things that can go wrong with food and all kind of different pathogens that can cause these sicknesses, and it can break down into things like bacterial, some are viral, there's even some parasite infections that can take place. I'm not going to mention all of them, just to say that there are a couple really profound ones. Obviously, the ones we hear about the most are like salmonella, which is something that's found in raw poultry, eggs, unpasteurized milk, and I think that we get the biggest scare out of that when we talk about chicken and turkey, because those are the things that, you know, they seem to really have a lot of salmonella in them. And then E. coli also is another bacteria that people come in contact with when they eat things like undercooked ground beef, some contaminated produce. You got to think about the handling and the shipping of some of the produce. You know, a lot of people touch those things. You know, our bodies themselves, as you know, if we get a little cut or scrape or just any opening in that outer protective layer of skin, you know, we could possibly pick up an infection if we come in contact with the bacteria. Well, produce is the same. Whenever the produce is being shipped, there are all kind of ways that it can encounter bacteria. And so, produce is something that we have to be careful of, and E. coli just seems to find its way all over the place. When we talk about salmonella and within the turkey and the chickens and things like that, a lot of that has to do with just the actual processing of it. Both of those bacteria come basically from the intestines and the inside parts of the chicken rather than the actual meat of the chicken. And it's wrapped up, and they found that almost 47% of all the chickens that they have tested had some type of salmonella, and some had some E. coli as well. The good news is proper cooking kills it right away. I mean, if you get a temperature up to where it's supposed to be for cooking chicken, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be killed. That's a good thing. We're not going to be able to get rid of it. It's very obvious that's just a part of eating meat, and same thing with produce, that if we don't grow it ourselves and have it, you know, just right handy, that when it goes through shipping and, you know, you get a warm, moist environment, no matter where it's at, you're asking for some bacterial growth. You know that. So when you think about chicken, though, it's just one of those things, and poultry, that we just have to be very careful to make sure we're cooking it properly. Other things too, of course, when we talk about eggs, if they're not fully cooked, they can cause problems. I remember back in the old days, a lot of us would eat sunny side up, which means you just put the egg in, fry it a little bit, and you don't turn it over, and you just put it on the plate. A lot of people probably still do that, and I'm not saying it's bad to do that, but a lot of restaurants have stopped doing that simply because a lot of people have come down with salmonella because the egg wasn't cooked quite well enough. You know, you can still fry an egg like that and make sure it's thoroughly cooked, especially if you put a lid over the pan. But just be careful when you're eating eggs because it can. I don't know how Rocky survived drinking all those raw eggs all the time. I'm sure he had salmonella at least once in his life. Seafood and shellfish are another area that oftentimes gets contaminated with some different bacterias. And you know, when you handle seafood and stuff like that, you got to really be careful. And I'll tell you what I do, a rule of thumb for me. Anytime I'm dealing with any type of meat, especially chicken, turkey, pork, or seafood, first thing I do, and this may sound silly, but the first thing I do is I run my sink and like I'm going to wash the dishes and get it nice and soapy and sudsy. And then I pour some bleach in there. And everything that I use, whether it be a cutting board, a knife, whatever it is, whenever I'm doing that with raw chicken or any type of raw meat or seafood, I make sure that I wash them thoroughly in bleach. And then after I'm done, I make sure I clean all the surfaces, the table, and everywhere that came in contact with those meats, and just clean them really good with my soap water that has a little bit of bleach in it, because bleach is a very, very good antibacterial. It'll kill that bacteria, and it'll keep you safe. But make sure you get those utensils. And I'll tell you something you got to really be careful about are some of these cutting boards. If you're cutting raw chicken on some of these cutting boards, after a while, they get some grooves in them. And those grooves can harbor bacteria. And if you don't get that bacteria cleaned out well, it could fester for a while. So make sure you work on that very well. Fresh vegetables, too, again, carry pathogens sometimes. You just really have to work. They were even talking about fruits and melons and things like that. And guess which one of the big offenders is? It's cantaloupe. You know how watermelon oftentimes has bacteria? It's not so much on the fruity part of the inside. It's in the rind. But sometimes that rind gets contaminated into the fruit. But cantaloupe, for some reason, because of the texture of it, is able to harbor bacteria a lot more. If you wash a watermelon off, and I don't know too many people that do that probably because we don't eat the rind, but it's a good idea to wash it off because that knife goes through the rind before it gets to the fruit, remember? But a lot of people wash, you know, different fruits off. But that cantaloupe, you got to really be careful because of the fact that, you know, it's the texture of it. It just has all those little nooks and crannies in there that can really harbor bacteria. I've even heard of some people, they actually go around and they peel the outside of the cantaloupe, just the outside layer of that. Of that skin and, or no skin, excuse me, that outside shell there, and then they cut the cantaloupe open after they wash their knife. So, all kind of things that people do to try to really make sure they don't get any type of food poisoning. Now, when you talk about food in general, okay, so that was kind of talking about raw foods, and I had to laugh whenever it was talking about not fully cooked ground beef. My dad, when he did something with ground beef, like was making hamburgers or something, he'd just take a little pinch of ground meat, put some salt and pepper on it, and eat it. And I just about freaked out. It was like, oh my goodness, how can anybody eat that? Because it's not even cooked. And, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't have many steaks or anything like that. But I went out with some fellow one time, and he ordered a huge steak. When I was in service, and we went to a steakhouse, and he got this huge steak, and he said, just flop it on one side, flop it over on the other side, and throw it on the plate. I want it raw as you can get it. And he was eating a steak that was so raw. It was, I mean, it's just as bad as eating raw hamburger, but Oh my goodness, I was in shock. I don't usually get well done, but I like it cooked enough so that I feel safe while I'm eating it. But when you're talking about cooking foods and storing foods, that a lot of time is where the big problem is. I want to give you an example now. I'm going to tell my mom, God rest her soul, she was the most wonderful mother that I could have ever had, and I appreciate her so much. But she grew up in a day when they had ice boxes. Now, you know what the difference between a refrigerator and an ice box is, right? Refrigerators use refrigeration, like Freon and stuff like that, to be able to keep the freezer and the refrigerator cold. It's electric. Back in the old days, they had an ice box, which means the iceman would come and put this big hunk of ice down in the bottom. He shut the door, and it kept everything in there cold. Well, I discovered after many years of trying to talk my mother into doing things differently that they always let their food cool off quite a bit before they put it in the refrigerator, their ice box. And the reason with that, if you put hot food in there, it would make the ice melt faster. So that was the idea. You get your leftovers and you set everything. You leave it set out as long as you can until it's fairly well cool. Then you put it in the refrigerator. Well, that's really not the case. Truth of the matter is that a good rule of thumb, you go from as hot as you can to as cold as you can, as quick as you can. All right? Did you catch that? Hot as you can to cold as you can, as quick as you can. In other words, as soon as you get finished eating, make sure you put that food away in the refrigerator, because there is an area which we call the danger zone for the actual, you know, growth of bacteria. And that's anywhere between 40 and 140 degrees. So if you cook your food and, you know, obviously it should be cooked, especially meats and things like that, you want to make sure that it gets to a good temperature, 160 some if it's chicken or turkey, 140 some of the other meats. But you've got to make sure it gets hot and you eat it. But you want to get it into the refrigerator before it, you know, can reach that area of temperature where the bacteria are able to grow. So that's the rule of thumb, you know, get it. You know, a lot of times people sit and eat, and there's nothing wrong with having a nice meal and a nice dinner. But if you're going to spend an extended period of time sitting at the dinner table talking, which is always a good idea for family, just part yourself and put some food away, especially the meats, so that they get into that refrigerator rather quickly and they don't spoil that way. So keep them warm. You know, a lot of times when we're having big meals, you know, we keep the oven on just a little bit, and we can put the food back in the oven and just let it sit in there for a while, you know, while other people are coming or whatever we're doing, so that this food stays nice and warm. Now, you know, we always eat cold food, don't we? And it doesn't seem to bother us, but, you know, if it sits out there for a while, bacteria can grow. Then we've got to really keep things separate. You know, and I never really thought of this. We have this kind of the policy at work about the way we stack things. We don't want to stack our bleach and cleaning products right over top of all our sterile supplies, obviously. But, you know, when you're doing stuff in the refrigerator, like, for example, I love tilapia. And I have I get some tilapia and I put it in the refrigerator and I have it on a shelf. I love chicken, turkey. Sometimes I have a lot of chicken frozen. I get it out, thawed out, put it in a bowl, put it in the refrigerator. And but if it's over top of something else, and there's any chance at all that any of that juice could possibly drip. Now, I try to use containers so it doesn't, but, you know, sometimes people put stuff in the refrigerator, and it's very possible that that raw meat could produce some juice that may drop onto something below it. So just be really careful with that. And that's why, you know, sealing and covering things is such a good idea. My wife used to sell Tupperware, for example, and man, that stuff's good. I'm not advertising it, but it's really good. Rubbermaid has the same type of products, not quite as good as Tupperware, but anything that seals well and, you know, just for quality and freshness sake, is able to really, you know, get the airtight seal, you're going to have a lot better chance of not contaminating anything that's in the refrigerator. And then on top of that, you're really not supposed to refreeze anything that's thawed out. Now, I have every, you know, I live by myself right now, and when I do, I try when I bring stuff home in bulk, I'll wrap it up and freeze it. But every once in a while, I'll put it like maybe a couple thighs or a chicken breast, and I'll put them all together, and I'll get it out and say, oh, this is too much. It was, you know, I was planning on using that when my kids were coming over, something like that, and didn't use it. I got it, and I said, I can't eat all this chicken. You're always tempted to, you know, stick it back in the freezer again. Or if you buy some ground meat and you don't use all of it and you put it in the freezer, no, that's okay. But if you get it out, thaw it out, don't refreeze it again. It's just not worth taking that chance. Another thing that you need to be mindful of is checking expiration dates. A lot of people don't do that. And a lot of people will do it if they see something's expired, say, nah, it's still good. And it may be. And I'm not saying that, you know, right on the expiration date, all of a sudden, whatever you have has gone bad. But I am saying it's a good idea to really check expiration dates, especially on perishable things. You know, if it's something, if it's a box of cookies or crackers and they expire, I don't think they're going to hurt you. They just won't be as fresh as the manufacturer wants them to be. But just really be careful about that. Well, how about leftovers? How long should you leave leftovers in the refrigerator? That's a good question, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, the more importantly is, do you really inspect all that stuff before you prepare it again? Make sure it smells right. Make sure it looks right. I don't know how many times I went into the refrigerator, and not now, but years ago, and went into the refrigerator and opened something up, and you see stuff growing on top of it, man. I'm thankful I just didn't throw it in the microwave and start eating it. I mean, make sure you check your leftovers and make sure you check the food that it's not spoiled. Same thing with food that you bring home from the store. I'll tell you what, they get wrapped up in that cellophane. You open that up and it smells. Don't eat it. Take it back because, you know, you could really get ill from any kind of spoiled meat. And sometimes it can spoil and still look okay. And sometimes you can really tell by just the idea of how it looks and how it smells and even the texture of it sometimes. Again, when we're talking about cleaning, when you're cooking, make sure you spend a lot of time cleaning all your surfaces, cleaning all your utensils. And before you actually start the food preparation, don't forget to wash your hands. We had a podcast not too long ago on washing your hands, but it's very, very important. I mean, think of all the things that we touch and places we go during the day. And then you come home and you just, you know, you want to make sure your hands are clean. I was talking about hand washing to somebody after I did their podcast, and I went through a whole day and I thought about, consciously tried to remember all the things that I touched that probably at least 100 people had touched before me. And it is amazing. Every time you go into a store, you're opening the door. I wonder how many people have touched that door. You go up and put your hand on the counter. I wonder how many people had something on that counter. You know, you go to push the button to get your gas. And you hold the gas handle. How many people have held that gas handle before you got a hold of it? I could go on and on, but hand washing, especially nowadays, I mean, anytime, but nowadays especially, it ought to be something that we do super religiously, washing our hands. I have hand disinfection, you know, the hand sanitizer. I have it in my car. I have it in my truck. I have it at work, every desk. I have 3 offices, so I have some in each of my desks. It's just I have it everywhere I go. When I go out to eat, for example, you know, to a restaurant, I want to make sure my hands are clean. It's just something that we really need to look to and make sure we're doing well. So again, these are just a few things that you really want to think about before you really start to, you know, if you really want to be serious about preventing any type of foodborne illness, food poisoning, things like that. It's things we often overlook. It's things that don't bother us sometimes. I mean, I've seen people leave pepperoni pizza out all night and just get up the next morning and have it for breakfast. Now, I don't mind having pizza for breakfast. Used to do it all the time, but I didn't leave it out all night. You know, especially with the box open and the flies landing all over it. But, you know, people do that. But again, every time you do that, and remember, that's what preventive health is all about. It's reducing the risk reduction, minimizing the risk of coming down with something that you don't want to have. Now, you might not die from food poisoning, and you may not be permanently damaged, but I'll tell you what, a good case of food poisoning can put you out of commission for quite a while. So, when you're cooking, and you're putting leftovers away, and you're cleaning up, remember all these things we talked about today so that you won't come down with some kind of foodborne illness that will cause a health problem for you. I'm so glad you could be here today. Again, happy Easter. And I hope all your meals and all your eating experiences from here on out are good ones. By the way, all that stuff I said about waiting to prepare food at home, just remember when you go out to eat, you may not like expensive restaurants, but most likely the cheaper the restaurant, you're going to have to be really careful to make sure that they're handling the food properly too. Just a hint. Think about those things. All right. You take care and we'll talk to you again next week.